Good morning. I'm so grateful to be here today and share the word of the Lord with you. Looking forward to my brother healing up good, being back in the saddle. Thank you, Jesus. So I want to talk to you about something that's really been on my heart for a while. It seems like no matter when I open my Bible to speak the word of the Lord, I come back to this theme or a similar theme over and over and over again. And I think it is because of the times that we're living in. I think it is a timely word that I need. And hopefully, I can be yielded enough to God that it will fill a need for you. I got over it. I know that to do this, I don't have to be the smartest man in the room. I'm not. I don't have to be. I don't have to be the most talented or gifted or educated. But if I can be obedient to the Lord, and if you can help me find that spirit of obedience and open up our hearts as the family of God to hear from Him, then it's not just an anointed word. It's anointed ears. You know, the seven churches in the book of Revelation, each one of them, at the end of their little note, received this closing remark from the Lord. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. So it's not enough for me to bring a word. That's not enough. I am not enough. Jesus is more than enough. And if we will have ears to hear from Him, He will get the glory. And everybody say amen?
Amen.
All right, so I'm going to ask you to stand for the initial reading, and then you can be seated. So I'm going to read from Acts chapter 3 just briefly, then we're going to start talking. I suggest that at a later time you read the entire chapter from each of these scriptures to give you something to pray over and think about. We're just going to read through them what we need for the word today. Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb all his life, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. He was a beggar. He was asking for money. And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter looked at him. Peter and John saw him. Peter said, "Look at us." So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive from them. I want you to say, "I expect to receive today." Say it. Let's say it again. I expect to receive today. Thank you, Jesus. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand. He didn't just say, "Rise up and walk." He reached out and grabbed him. He said, "Rise up and walk," and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, I guess so, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Then they knew it was he who sat begging at the alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what happened to him. You may be seated. That must have been a shocking event. all his life, he's been lame. He was born lame. Could not walk. Could not crawl. He had not ability to move himself about. All his life, for years, he had been a beggar at that same gate. The ministry of Jesus Christ had come through Jerusalem, I don't know how many times, and it passed him by, and he did not get his healing. But he was there at the gate called Beautiful, begging for alms. Whatever he didn't know, he knew that he could get some mercy if he would just be where the people of God were going. That something was happening here. I may not be tasting everything, but I can get a little chump change if I'll just be here at the gate when they come in. And so he is begging. And when Peter and John see him, they take note of him. They don't just give him some change. They say, look at me. Look at us. We got something for you. Silver and gold I do not have. Must be in Pentecostal. But what I have, I'm going to give you. And he took him by the hand. I was praying at a funeral. It was actually the viewing. And the guy in the casket was one of my disciples. His name was Todd. I put my hand on his hand. I started talking to him. I said, Todd, I know you're dead, brother. I wish I could have done more for you, but I got to tell you that I love you. And I think I was this close from saying, get up in the name of Jesus. We need to remember something that Brother Chris said in service this morning. Jesus made the declaration, if you have just a mustard seed of faith, how much room does a mustard seed take up in your life? It's not strange that Jesus didn't say, you need a mountain of faith. He said mustard seed on purpose. He didn't say you need an ocean of faith. He said mustard seed on purpose. What happened to Peter and John as they were walking in there? They were prompted by the Holy Ghost. I don't know how many times they passed this fella. I don't know how many times they walked by. They gave him some change. That's the habit of the people going in. They gave him some money. They were going to this place for prayer daily. They had passed him how many times? But you know, there was a prompting inside of them right then. There was a prompting from the Spirit of God, and they recognized it. Listen to me. We need to hear the voice of God. Whether it is a prompting and an urging in our spirit, whether it is an audible voice that fills the air, whether it is the word of a testimony that somebody gives or a Sunday school lesson that comes forth, we need to hear the voice of God. If it is a dream, if it is a vision, if it is a prophecy, if it is tongues and interpretation, we need to recognize this is the voice of God. Our God is not a deaf mute. He is speaking to us continually because they understood the prompting of God. This miracle took place. I was walking down the street one day, young in the faith, walking down the street in Alamogordo, New Mexico. On the other side of the street, I saw a fellow walking. We were going like this. Me going one way, him going the other. But I saw him, and the Lord spoke to me and said, witness to that man. And I thought, it's my imagination. About 10 steps later, my heart smote me. I began to grieve. I was so wounded that I ignored the Lord. So I turned around to cross the street and go find him, but he was gone and I didn't see him. So I was left there alone with my guilt. Are we listening daily to hear the voice of God? Do we believe the world is going to hell without Jesus? Do we believe that? Do we believe these people who don't understand their own gender, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son for them? Do we believe that? If we really have a vision of heaven and hell, are we living like it? I remember years ago I contacted a friend of mine who was a fabulous preacher. We were pastoring a small church, and I contacted him and said, "Man, I know you're close by. I know you got some time. Can you come and preach for us? I really think it would bless the church if you'd come and preach for us." He talked a little bit, and then he said, "Oh, brother," he said, "really, I've given my ministry now to the masses. I've got to go where the crowds are. I've got to go to the masses." You know what I heard in my head? And it might have been unfairly judging him, but I heard it. "You folks from the little church can just go to hell. I'm interested in preaching to crowds so that I can look out and see how many people there are and pat myself on the back and say, we got it going on. It's happening here. The Lord is blessing here." Well, we all want the Lord blessing. But can you hear the voice of God when you're on the job? That person that you've passed by every day for I don't know how many years, that you've sat next to, that you've worked with, that you've never looked at them and said, "Jesus loves you." Or you've never asked them, "Is there something I can pray for you about?" Or you've never said, "Hey, man, I appreciate you. I appreciate your work ethic. I'm glad to work with you." We never put something even positive in their lives. You know why we don't do that? Because we're so consumed with our daily obligations that we collectively can forget to listen for the voice of God in the moment. But that is an eternal soul. I want you to know this morning who you are. You are the people that God cherishes. You are the people that are the apple of his eye. That statement doesn't just mean like a little apple. It's a culturalism. It means the very center of your eye is focused on something. At the very center of God's eyeball is focused on you. He sees you that clearly, like he's looking at you under a microscope so he can see you and tell you how precious and how wonderful and how lovely you are in his sight. And how you were worth the beating and worth the cross. And he'd do it again. Just for you. If you was the only one. We need to hear the voice of God, church. Because God is not a deaf mute. Man, the crowds heard all this. It was excited. This guy walked into church. He's leaping. He's jumping. I guess he was. If I remember correctly, you can read through the story, but if I remember correctly, he was 40 years old, maybe older. Even if he was 20, all those years, he couldn't walk. Now he's in the church house. He's walking and he's leaping and he's praising God. I think he was screaming and yelling. I think he was having a holy roller fit. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. that's in order sometimes. It's all right for you to be so swept up in emotion that you're just looking at God in your heart and in your mind and you're screaming your brains out, I love you, Jesus. Hey, they do it for the Dallas Cowboys. They do it for the Mavericks. They do it for the Texas Rangers. Yeah. Are we moved enough that on occasion it just comes up? It's better than a touchdown. It's better than a home run. It's better than sinking a three-pointer. I'm walking and leaping and praising God. I got up this morning. He woke me up this morning and he started me on my way and the Lord is blessing me. Am I rejoicing in the presence of God? Am I hearing his voice when he says, you are my child, I love you. You are my bride, I cherish you. You are my weapon against the demons of hell. Go out there and rebuke them in the name of Jesus. Go out and emulate my love. I'm going to read you another little scripture now. We're going to go to Acts chapter 4. This is following up now on the story in Acts chapter 3 about the healing and Peter's preaching and how powerful the name of Jesus is. And the Sanhedrin court, the ruling class, the elite that didn't believe that Jesus was the Messiah, they've got him on trial. They're really going to nail him to the wall. Acts 4, verse 1. Now, as they spoke to the people, the priest, the captain of the temple, and the Sadducees came upon them, being greatly disturbed that they taught the people and preached in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. Why? Because they kill him. He just got through telling them, you killed Jesus. You killed your own Messiah. You murdered him. He's the one who healed this man. By his name he was healed. And they laid hands on them. They were so happy the guy was healed, they arrested him. Can you imagine that? You pray for someone and they're healed and you're arrested? How exciting is that? It's just what we've all prayed about, isn't it? I mean, you want to go downtown Baylor, walk through the hospital, lay hands on people. They start getting up healed. Dallas PD shows up and says, I'm taking you to Lee Sterrett. Rejoice. But believe me, all they that live godly shall suffer persecution. If we really are a reflection of the love of Jesus Christ and his salvation, there will be times when we walk in the room that demons will go nuts. They don't like the presence of salvation. And they laid hands on them and put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. However, many of those who heard the word believed. And the number of men came to be about 5,000. That doesn't include women and children. It says the number of men. I don't read another story in the book of Acts where thousands like that come to the Lord. As a matter of fact, in all of Paul's ministry, in all the churches that he established, you don't read where thousands came to the Lord. But he won small groups who he discipled. And they reproduced the word of God that he put in them. And they grew to be stalwart churches for the living God. You don't read any more about thousands coming. Now, I've heard of it a time or two in my life. I watched it. I was supposed to make a trip back to the Torres Islands. I didn't get to go, but a friend of mine from Papua New Guinea had a VCR tape of a service that he'd been in where there were probably 50,000 people there from New Guinea in this large open area. And when the altar call came, I watched what they estimated to be 25,000 people sprint, crying and screaming in repentance to be at the altar. I never saw it again, but I never forget that I saw it then either. We must not put limitations on God. He must not be limited in our lives. You are to this world, to your world, to your neighborhood, to your employees, to your employer, to your co-workers, to the place where you shop. You are the reflection of salvation. Satan wants you to forget that. Satan wants to put that in the back of your mind and remind you of your struggles and remind you of your trials and remind you of your disappointments and remind you of the work you have to do and the responsibilities you have. Anything to get you to forget that you are the reflection of the salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ. We must hear the voice of God in the moment. If they had not responded to the prompting of the Holy Ghost and said, look on us and give me your hand, and in the name of Jesus Christ, right, there would have never been those thousands redeemed. It started with hearing the voice of God for one soul. They heard the voice of God for one soul, and that seed brought a harvest of 5,000 men, not including women and children. We don't know how many there were. Please don't underestimate your value in the eyes of the Lord. Please don't see yourself as something different than the apostles. Please don't see yourself as something different from the disciples that their lives are recorded in the Word of God. Because that's who we are. We have the same God. We have the same Word. We have the same Spirit. What we need is to recognize we have the same ears. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. In Acts chapter 8, there's a story going to verse 26. And I encourage you to go back this week and read these chapters. Acts 3, 4, 8, 9. We are living in the book of Acts. Remember, when you get to Acts 28, there's no amen, meaning the end of the book, because it is a history of the church, and the church is still here. So the book is still being written, only now it's being written in our lives. Lord, write it on the pages of my heart. So Acts chapter 8, there's been a revival in Samaria. Philip's been preaching there, and we're going to go to verse 26. I'm going to start reading there. Now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip. So this was an angelic presence. And it doesn't say the angel of the Lord. There's a difference. You get to studying that in the Old Testament. The angel of the Lord and an angel of the Lord. It's actually two different things. Now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert. Get up, son. I want you to go to the desert. An angel appeared. There was a time early in my walk with God where I kept hearing all these testimonies about angels. And I was rooming in the barracks by myself at that time. I was the only guy in that room in the barracks. I was in the Air Force. And I was praying myself to sleep. And I was talking to the Lord. I said, you know, Lord, I'm hearing all these testimonies about angels. Ooh, I would love to see an angel, Lord. Send me an angel. Let me see him. That would just be, I was listening to these people testify. They're so excited. They're so thrilled and happy. oh, Lord, I want to see an angel. Send me an angel, Lord. Let me see an angel. I'm in that room all by myself, laying on the bunk. And suddenly, the bunk sags as if somebody really heavy sat on the bunk behind me. I said, thank you, Jesus, but I ain't turning to look at that. I was so scared. The bed is not supposed to sag like that. One of my friends said, I think Jesus was looking at you, telling the angels, say, watch this, we're going to have some fun with Ernie. Yeah. You don't know what God is about to be up to. This angel said to Philip, I want you to take a walk. I want you to go out to the desert. Lord, I don't want to hear a direction to go to the desert. You're telling me to go to the desert. I really need to know that's the voice of the Lord. How about I need to be so sensitive to God that it doesn't matter if it says go to the desert or go to Dairy Queen. I know it's him. I know it's him. I need to know it. See, what I'm telling you is about myself a little bit today. This has been going over in me for months. I need to have a more clear understanding of when God is speaking to me. I find myself in my prayer room praying about half as much as I used to and spending a lot of time listening. And sometimes the presence of God is so real. And I keep thinking, oh, surely the Lord is going to speak a word right now. I feel his presence. It's like oil all over me. It's like static electricity in this room. I'm not in a church house with 50,000 people praising God. I'm alone in my room. And the presence of God is so real. I don't know how long it lasts. I know I just don't want it to go away. And I know I didn't hear a word, but I'm going to tell you something. I experienced him. Experience God. There's no substitute for an experience with God that marks your life. Knowing I did exactly what you said to do, Lord. Yeah, I might have been afraid. One of the scariest times in the world for me, we were newlyweds. My wife looked at me and she said, the doctor says that I won't be able to conceive for at least 6 months to 18 months because my body is too physically damaged. But I told him, that's not true. I'm going to go home. My husband's going to lay hands on me in the name of Jesus. And I'm going to be healed. And it'll be like nothing has ever happened. And I'm going to get pregnant. And the doctor told her, Mrs. Perez, don't talk to yourself like that. Now you're going to get yourself set up for some severe depression. Don't say that stuff. She's sitting across telling me this. Then she looks at me and says, now you pray for me so I'll be healed right now. You lay your hands on me right now. Pray for me right now. I'm going to tell you something. I wept tears of a coward. I dropped my head because I didn't want her to see the tears streaming down my face. And I put my hand on her and I was praying. I said, Lord, if you don't heal this woman, she'll never ever believe I'm a man of God. She has told the doctor this. Now she's telling me. You know, she scared more than the liver out of me. And I laid hands on her, and I didn't feel anything except fear. That's all I felt, Chris. Fear of failure. And I prayed, Lord, in the name of Jesus, I need you to heal my wife. Let her conceive in Jesus' name. Just a few weeks later, she looked at me and said, I got pregnant. I got pregnant last night. I said, you don't know that. You can't know that. She said, oh, yes, I can. She said, we'll put the date down on the calendar. She said, 6 weeks, we're going to go, you know, they're going to kill the rabbit. They don't do that now. They have an at-home pregnancy test. It's going to prove that I'm pregnant. If I had any faith, it was a mustard seed, Chris. Because my heart was filled with fear. But I laid hands on her anyway. I did it afraid. I spoke it afraid. You know what happened? I didn't know it then. Oh, but I know it now. The voice of the Lord was speaking to me through my wife. You're going to do this now and you're going to see the results. I'm going to mark your life, son. I want you to remember that when you think there is no hope, I am the one who comes through for you. When it looks like it can't be done, I am the one who gets it done. When you don't have the strength for it, it's all right. I got the strength for it. You just need to have an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying to you in the moment. Not having lived all day the perfect life. Not having lived for the last 3 years without never making a mistake. But having lived for this moment right now. Here I am, God. I'm listening for you. I want to do whatever it is you call me to do. I want to want for myself whatever it is you want for me. I told Mama on the way home from here last Saturday, after we left that celebration, I said, you know, there's people that talk a lot about God's prosperity. And they fly around in their jets and ride in their yachts. But those things can be taken from them. But the love that we receive from the people that were here today to celebrate us, that is ours forever. If you are loved, and you know you're loved, you are prosperous in this life. If you recognize that God has sent into your life people to love you, people who will know you and then forgive you. Forgive you. Because you know, we got some flaws now. Don't everybody just look at me and say, that's you. We got some flaws. We've made some failures. We've made some mistakes. And we need our friends and family to forgive us and love us anyway. And that is real wealth. That cannot be taken from us. No thief can steal it. The stock market can't do away with it. That is ours to keep and to experience and to revel in. Back to Philip. Guess I'm a little extemporaneous. Yeah. Verse 27. So he arose and went. He went out to the desert. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasury and had come to Jerusalem to worship, was returning on her way back to Ethiopia. Here we go. And sitting in his chariot, this Ethiopian wealthy statesman, he was reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said to Philip, go near and overtake this chariot. The Spirit said, I may be the poorest of all examples, but I'm the one I have. I'm walking down the street. God speaks to me. Catch up with that man. He's a Christian. He's like 25 yards ahead of me. I'm new at this Christian thing. The voice is so real, it's right here. I look, but there's no one there. Okay, walk a little faster. The voice comes back and says, I said, catch up with that man. I got to be, you know, I ain't been stoned for a week. Come on. I guess I'm going. The voice comes back a third time and says, run. And there was so much authority and power in the voice that scared me. And I took off sprinting. And I ran up to this total stranger reached out, slapped him on the shoulder, spun him around, and he did not punch me in the face. Thank you, Jesus. Because it was a silly thing to do. I looked at him huffing and puffing. I didn't know what to tell him. I said, I'm a Christian. Yes, I probably looked that dumber. He threw his hands up in the air. He said, praise God, I just became a Christian last night. We need to hear the voice of God. We sat there for a few minutes, encouraged one another in the Lord, never saw each other again. But both of us walked away with that moment etched in our lives, forever burned in our hearts and minds and memories. You are a peculiar people, Peter said. And that doesn't mean weird. That means precious. That means like a priceless treasure, like a unique treasure. You are peculiar in that sense. God considers you that kind of peculiar. I mean it, Nikki. I know you think Uncle's peculiar, but I'm going with the Bible. So here's what I'm telling you. You are cherished. You are cherished by God. There is nothing more valuable in God's creation, in all of time and eternity, than you. No one. Not Elijah, the greatest of the prophets. Not Moses, who brought us a covenant. Not Abraham, who was the first to walk with God by faith. Not Noah, who built the ark when all he heard was a voice. Not the apostles and prophets. No one is loved by God more than you are. You must not let the thinking of the world or the thinking of the enemy diminish how you see yourself. I'm not talking about being arrogant. I'm talking about understanding how much Jesus loves you, so that you can hear his voice when he speaks to you. Philip ran up to the chariot. He joined himself to the chariot. The guy was reading Isaiah, and Philip began to preach to him. I know what to do now. He's reading from Isaiah. He doesn't understand it. I may not have known to do anything else except catch the chariot. That's what I knew. I only knew to catch the chariot. But in a little while, they stopped the chariot and he baptized that fellow in the beautiful name of Jesus. Who was that said today about the first step? Stand up and say that again, baby. Help me preach. All you can see is the first step. Silver and gold I don't have. Give me a hand. What's next? I don't know, but I'm going to tell you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Be kind to that waiter. Be kind to that waitress. They're looking for a 10% tip. Give them 15. So, well, I can't afford that. Well, do the best you can and give it in love. Tell them, you sure done a good job today. Thank you for your service. I see you a hard worker. Just spread a little love. Spread a little kindness. Be the reflection of the salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ. You're in the grocery line, and the people in front of you just looking, can't find it. Oh, I can't find my... I have my debit card. I can't pay for it. Really? Don't believe me. Ask the Lord. And if he says to you, pay for it. Listen to the Spirit of God. You may never see those people again, but they will never forget that God showed up at that moment in your life. And that they saw salvation of Jesus Christ. They heard it in your words. Felt it in your gesture. Saw it in your smile. You are a remarkable people. You are a fabulous people. The potential that you have in Christ is unlimited. God, anoint. Oh Lord, I pray you anoint these imaginations today. Anoint these imaginations, Lord, that they will see the opportunities that are before them, that they will understand that you are loving a lost world through them, that you still heal the sick. One of the most frustrating things for me, and I had that back surgery and I didn't get healed, that I was so depressed for years. It took years to get some resolution. You know, during that time, I prayed for somebody with cancer, God healed them. I prayed for somebody else, broken back, God healed them. Prayed for somebody else, they got the flu, whatever, God instantly healed them. I didn't get healed. Well, I got so depressed, I told the pastor at the church I was working in then, I was an associate, I told him, don't ask me to come up and anoint people. He said, what's the matter, Ernie? I said, I mean, I'm limping, I'm on a cane. I don't want to damage their faith. MC me, getting prayed for all the time, not healed. He said, yeah, too bad. We are not called so that God can tickle every fancy that we have. We are called so that we can be the reflection of his grace and of his love. He said to his disciples, in the world you shall have tribulation. He didn't say you will have a Bentley. That's not written in scripture. He said, in the world you will have tribulation. Then he said, be of good cheer. You're going to suffer, baby. Let that build up your faith. But remember, I have overcome the world. And it is Christ in you, the hope of glory, that overcomes whatever trauma or tragedy that we run into. We either receive an instantaneous miracle or we receive strength to endure. But in either capacity, God is glorified. This is what we have to understand. God is being glorified in my life. All things work together for good to them that love God and who are called according to his purposes. Doesn't say all things feel good. Doesn't say all things are good. Doesn't say all things make us want to dance. But it says God works all things together. I think it was Randy I was talking to not long ago. I said, you know, it's amazing. I look back at my life and even my stupid decisions, God showed up. And when I realized I'd done something stupid and said, Lord, I goofed up. He said, yeah, I've been waiting for you to say that, son. I got something for you. Now I'm going to help you. But you needed to understand you erred. You needed to understand you missed it. But I'm here to restore. I'm here to renew. I'm here to regenerate. God is only interested in building you up in this life and making you his walking miracle in the lives of other people. We have got to be able to hear the voice of God. You know, I know I like to read. I too read Keller. Yeah. And I really love to read Watchman Nee and other writers maybe you never heard of. And it's great when I read them, but it's not enough. I have to be able to hear the voice of God. This portion of ministry that I'm in right now, I feel like I'm such a rookie still. And I find myself saying, oh, Jesus, give me a sensitive spirit. I'm not smart enough for this, God. I don't have the wisdom for this. I have no clue how I'm going to do this, but I got to put my foot on the first step, Nikki. That's what I do. I put my foot on the step in front of me, and I go forward. Philip had no idea when God said, go out to the desert. And then when he was done with that fellow, you read through the chapter. It's like Scotty just beamed him up and then put him in another place. He was translated. That's an experience he never forgot. I'll guarantee you that. Man, I think I could go on for about 3 hours, but I'm not going to. Who said that? I know I can preach for another hour now. Yeah. I'll even take up another offering, you keep it up. I would challenge you to read all of Acts 8 and all of Acts 9 and see how these people received direction from God and how they followed it. These are just ordinary people. In brief, I'm going to tell you about the story of Saul and his conversion in Ananias. I'm going to close with that. You know, Saul was on his way to persecute Christians, on his way to Damascus. The Lord knocked him down with a blinding light, sent him into town, said, "You wait there. You do what I tell you. I'm changing your life. A man named Ananias is going to come and pray for you, and you're going to receive your sight. You're going to be filled with the Holy Ghost. You just do what I'm telling you, son." Meanwhile, Ananias is praying. We read about him one time in Scripture. This is not the one that was struck dead, okay? It's another one. Common name. The Lord speaks to him and says, "I want you to go pray for Saul of Tarsus. I want him to be healed of his blindness and filled with the Holy Ghost. I want to understand the calling I put on him." Ananias says, "Lord, you ain't been watching the 6 o'clock news. This man is wreaking havoc in the church. This man is killing and incarcerating Christians. You asking me to go pray for him?" And he argues with the Lord. But you know what his saving grace was? He heard the voice of the Lord. He debated with God whether or not the will of God was right. And then he gave in and did what God asked him to do. And because of him, 2/3 of the New Testament was written by the Apostle Paul. And every soul that came to Christ under Paul's ministry, yeah, that was a spiritual grandchild of Ananias. You don't have to be the smartest one in the room. You don't have to be the most educated or scholarly. You don't need a doctorate of divinity. But if you get one, praise God, use it. But you don't have to have it. What you have to have is an ear to hear what the Spirit of God says to the churches. We must hear the voice of God as individuals. And God wants to speak to you. And before I end, I want to pray with you. If you want to be more sensitive to the voice of God so that he can speak to you in dreams, in visions, in a Sunday morning Sunday school class, in the worship service, as you're driving down the street, you want him to speak to you when that song comes on the radio. You want him to speak to you when you're in the grocery store. You want to hear his voice. You want that prompting of his Spirit inside of you. I want to lay hands on you today and pray for you. So let's all stand. I would encourage you, do not be afraid to hear the voice of God. It is authoritative, but it is also sweet and wonderful. Come on, let me pray with you. Hallelujah. I want to hear the voice of God. I want to hear the voice of God. Lord, in the name of Jesus, start to pray right now. I want to hear your voice, Lord. I want to know when you're whispering to me that you love me. I want to know when you're guiding me to say to that stranger, to say to that neighbor that you love them. I want to be in tune with you, Lord. I want it, Jesus. I want to be used by you, Lord. Give me a sensitive ear, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I don't care if it's dreams and visions. I don't care if nobody else believes it, Lord. I want it to be so real between you and me, Jesus. You're enough, Jesus. Remind me that you're enough, Lord, and that I belong to you. That I am loved and cherished by you, Lord God. That you, the awesome God, the creator of heaven and earth, the savior of humanity, Lord, that you love me, Lord, and that I am special in your eyes. I am the apple of your eye, Lord Jesus. I am cherished by you, God. I want to know it, Lord. I want to know it, Lord, in the name of Jesus. I'm here, Lord, because I know you love me. And I want that sensitivity, Lord. Speak to me, Jesus. Guide me, Lord. Let me hear you in the voice of my spouse, in the voice of my children, my neighbors, my brothers and sisters in Christ. Let me hear your voice, Lord God. Let me know that you're speaking to me, Jesus. That you have direction and purpose for me, Lord. In the name of Jesus, let's give the Lord a hand praise. We give you thanks, God. We give you thanks, Jesus. We bless your name, Lord.